Hello and welcome back to Clutch Football, the football podcast from Serving Up Clutch. I'm James Martin. I'm joined by Fabio Duarte, and this is part two of our season preview. So if you didn't catch part one, we looked through the prospects for the first 10 teams. We're just going through alphabetically, and we left it at Liverpool. So, Fabio, where do you have them finishing?
I've got them second, which you won't like. Yeah, well, their form tailed off a little bit last season, but I don't think you can blame them for that. The title was wrapped up. So I don't think it's Liverpool dropping off too much that's going to be the problem. I think it's more Man City picking up. Thiago's potential signing could be really big. I think Liverpool are obviously going to be title contenders once again. I expect a season a bit more like the one before last.
Well, I mean, they were pretty similar seasons, I mean, in terms of points. I mean, Liverpool were very consistent over the two. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 97 and then 99 points. So in terms of Liverpool, they've been remarkably consistent.
I don't expect Liverpool to drop off too much in terms of points. What I mean is I think there will be a title race this time.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think City will be more competitive. But equally, when you finish 18 points clear and then you're not made favourites, I think in most cases that is going to be betting value. There's underlying data I appreciate. If you look at stuff like expected goals, then, yep, City are higher. But over two seasons, when Liverpool have been consistently overperforming those kind of models, you have to ask the question, maybe there's something the model isn't picking up on, because 97, then 99 points, it's not luck at that stage. So for me, I think the value is Liverpool to win the league.
Yeah, well, having put them second, I tried to make a case for them not to win the league. And there isn't one, really. It's just a case of there's two teams who are just as good as each other, in my opinion. And one of them won't win it. So I've gone with Liverpool second.
Yeah, I mean, I very nearly put City first in my predicted table, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. And even if I did put them first, which I didn't, note that I put Liverpool top. But even if I didn't, I have to say I would still say the value is Liverpool, just because, as you say, even if you appreciate it's a bit of a coin flip between the two, when one side of a coin flip has better odds than the other, you've got to back it. So
I can definitely see that they're 7-4 to win the Premier League, and City are at evens. So
yeah.
The value is definitely with Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, disclaimer, if Messi signs, I can throw these notes out the window. I mean, I wouldn't bet against a Messi-inspired City from winning everything. So
yeah, and that takes us nicely on to Man City, who I had predicted first before any of this Messi rumours. Yeah, they swept the teams aside post-lockdown, on the most part, Southampton aside. Defence was their problem area. They mostly addressed that. David Silva will be a loss, but Foden's stepping up. And they've already replaced Sane, who didn't even figure last season.
Yeah.
So I expect a big improvement.
Yeah, I mean, the Liverpool and City discussions are so intertwined at this point. Like you said before, they do seem like the two realistic contenders. Yeah, I mean, there's not too much else to add. I mean, one thing I would say, just to briefly go back to expected goals, sorry to bore you with that. But I did read something very interesting on it from Andrew Beasley, who's a stats writer. He was pointing out that where City still need to improve is in actually finding the breakthrough. So a lot of the big chances come after they're already ahead. They're a team that likes to rout. So if you can't find the breakthrough, then you're still going to struggle. So that's the side of the game where they'll need to improve significantly if they want to overturn an 18-point margin.
Yeah. And their results against the rest of the top five or six last year weren't good enough. They were quite poor. So they'll definitely need to improve in that area. But I think having addressed the defence and made some key signings, I think they will improve.
Yeah, I think they'll improve. It's just a question of will they improve to the tune of 18 points? Yeah. Okay, so we're pretty divided on that one. We'll move across the City to Man United. Tricky one. The front three is looking genuinely very strong now. And there's a pretty good midfield behind it as well. But that being said, defence still looks shaky. Henderson, somehow, I mean, you wouldn't believe this 2 years ago, but he's probably an upgrade on De Gea. But nonetheless, it's a big ask for him to step up and be United number one and improve on De Gea, who was at one stage arguably the best keeper in the world. The penalty numbers aren't sustainable. So my bold shout is that they just miss out on top four.
Yeah, well, I've noted down pretty much everything you said there. Unsustainable penalties. They've got a stable lineup now. Bruno Fernandes was a huge improvement in January, and Mason Greenwood's really come through now. But I've also got them to miss out on top four. I wrestled with this one for a long time, but I've decided to go for fifth. The reason behind that is Solskjaer has been on a similar run of form as interim manager. And when that came to an end, it came to quite an abrupt end. And it lasted for a long time. I think he's not of the same quality of the managers of the teams around him. And when this run eventually does end, I don't think he's the man to sort it out. I think he could get sacked at some stage during this season.
I like that. That's bold. I like that a lot.
Oh, but yeah.
I do. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you. Like you say, he was on a run like this before it went disastrously wrong. Yeah, they've improved, but how much of that is like we were mentioning, the penalties, which they won't keep up. As a Liverpool fan, I know they don't last forever. 13-14, we were jokingly called penalty pool. Not a great joke, I'll grant it. I was saying, no, we will keep it up. You know, we get into the box more. There's more dribbles in the box. And I'm hearing exactly the same stuff now from United fans. And it's just a statistical anomaly. I mean, it will end. I think maybe some people will be disillusioned with Solskjaer before too long.
That's my only reason for putting them out of the top four. If they had a better manager, I think they might just get it. But
yep,
it will go wrong at some stage.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And 2-1 for them to miss out as well. So I think that's decent.
Yep.
Cool, we'll move on because I've spent quite a long time slating United. Specifically Solskjaer. But we'll move on to Newcastle. Bit of a sad story, really, in some ways. I mean, not that sad. We're not getting a Saudi-backed club in the Premier League, but the takeover looks dead and buried. So that really changes the picture in a big, big way. It probably means another season of Steve Bruce, probably means no marquee signings. They have some decent players. I really like Sam Maximan. I think everyone really likes Sam Maximan. But I can't look beyond the fact that they were bottom of the table on expected goals data. I mean, that's quite damning. As I was saying before, with Liverpool and City at the other end, you have got to contextualise it. And some of it is Steve Bruce being really good on set pieces. And that skews the numbers a bit, if you can effectively utilise them. But even so, I think they're in real danger. And they're 5-2 for the drop, which I think has to be value.
Yeah, I'd agree with most of that. I haven't predicted them for the drop, but I have put them in 16th. Okay. The numbers are pretty worrying. They scored 38 goals last season, which isn't a lot. Only Crystal Palace scored fewer and survived. Their top goal scorer was Shelvey with 6. So, yeah, you have to question where the goals are coming from. I do rate Saint-Maximin a lot. He will probably be their top goal scorer, but he can't do it all on his own. And despite Bruce improving their defence in the second half of the season, they still conceded 58 goals, and only 3 teams in the Premier League have conceded fewer last season.
Yeah, that's worrying stuff, and that is why I have them 19th place. Mark that down, 19th place. Again, may come back to haunt me, but I think they're in trouble. And obviously, we're recording this early-ish in the transfer market, so if something dramatic happens, maybe even if the takeover somehow was revived, this would all massively change. But as things stand, I don't fancy them at all this season. Okay, Sheffield United. I have a lot of time for Sheffield United. I think Wilder is genuinely innovative coach. I know it gets talked about a bit. I don't think it gets talked about enough. It's sort of trivialised into this kind of novel, oh, look, he does something fun with his centre-back. Actually, it is a genuinely really clever system, which personally I'd not seen anywhere since, like, before he did it. I think that deserves a lot of credit, and clearly it works. First season in the Premier League to do what they did is, I mean, it's impressive by any standards, and I don't see too much of a drop-off. What do you reckon with that?
One of my notes is drop-off expected.
Sorry, I'm just going to quickly contextualise for people who haven't listened to part one yet. We have been agreeing on almost everything, so this is great news. Go on.
Where have you got them in the table, out of interest?
In the table, I have them 10th.
We're not too far apart. I've gone for 13th. I think they will do similarly well to last season, but I think Henderson is a massive loss for them. Whereas McBurney and Moussa scored 6. They were their top goal scorers. They relied heavily on defence. But yeah, they only scored 39 goals in 38 games. And with the loss of Henderson, I think they will concede more often. They won a lot of games by a goal to nil. So I expect them to lose a few games here and there that they would have otherwise won or picked up points. So I expect them to drop off a little bit. They're not going to be anywhere near the relegation zone.
Okay. But, well, we're not miles apart, and then sort of true to form, we do have a bit of consistency in our notes there, because I've got down they could definitely still do with a more reliable marksman. But again, early days in the transfer market, someone could easily come in. Plus, I mean, some of the strikers were unlucky. I thought they were repeatedly in decent positions, just why, stuff like that. I mean, obviously, some of that is down to not being clinical enough, but equally, it does suggest maybe they could get better returns next time around.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you say, I don't think either of us think they're anywhere near the drop zone. It's tricky to find value, but for me, 10-3 is generous for a top 10 finish, given that they just managed a top 10 finish. Not only did they just manage one, they just missed out on Europe, so they don't have that issue of congestion. I think top 10 is at least very possible, and at 10-3, I'd probably fancy it.
Yeah, personally, I think there's 10 better teams than them, at least. So
yeah, fair enough.
I wouldn't back it. Yeah.
Okay, next one up is Southampton. I'll let you lead on that one.
Southampton, I think, are going to improve on last season's finish. Form after lockdown was very good. Hasenhüttl's obviously got his philosophy working now. Southampton did well to stick with him, especially after the 9-0 loss. And it's paying off, really. I've got them 10th.
Yep. It's quite hard to follow that because my notes are almost word for word. I was actually disappointed. I thought this could be a nice little value tip. I have the 9th for what it's worth, but the top half finish was only 13-8 as the sort of best odds for that.
I think a lot of people expect them to improve on last season as a whole. Went 7 games unbeaten at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And it's not just Danny Ings now. Che Adams scored 4 goals in July, so he could potentially kick on this season.
I was going to say, because, I mean, we should probably expect some regression from Ings. But then again, I mean, Adams is there to pick up some slack. He's definitely capable of contributing more, and we did see some of that post-lockdown. So, yeah, I think top 10 is a pretty solid prediction. Whether I back it at not that inspiring odds, I'm not sure. But I think on the whole, it's still a value bet.
I agree, again.
All right, that's it. I'm going to tip Spurs for the drop next, just to talk about it. Okay, it's not quite that severe, but Spurs are one I have struggled with a lot because I don't rate Mourinho anymore. He's still suited to some very specific occasions. I'm just going to dive straight in and explain this. There's no doubt in my mind he's a big downgrade from what they had with Pochettino.
Well, I agree to an extent. I wouldn't have got rid of Pochettino. I don't think Mourinho is an improvement. But I still rate Mourinho as a manager. Historically, a second season's usually very good.
It's not okay, the first season's not that bad.
True, and he hasn't managed, no offence to Tottenham, teams quite as poor as Tottenham.
No offense, okay.
There are some stats to back up an improved season. They had one loss in the last 10 last season, which went under the radar because there were quite a few draws in there. They lost just 5 out of 28 games against sides who finished below them in the table, which is pretty consistent. Obviously, you expect them to beat the sides below them. If they can improve against the top sides, Højbjerg and Doherty are both 2 good signings. I can't see them finishing higher than 6th, which is where I've put them.
Okay.
I do think that they might win a cup, the League Cup or the FA Cup, and 10-1 to win the FA Cup. I think that's decent value.
So you say decent value, I say Mourinho romanticism. I don't see that at all. He was good at winning stuff. He was a serial winner, but that was before the game had evolved beyond him and when he had better teams. So I'm a long way clear of that.
Harsh.
It is harsh. And to be fair, I have been having a go at them, but I have them 7th, so it's not that different to you.
No, I definitely can't see better than top 6. I did watch a few of the games Tottenham played post-lockdown and they weren't exciting in the slightest, particularly that Tottenham versus Bournemouth game that sticks in my mind. Yeah, 6th is as high as I can see them finishing in the league.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll move on to West Brom.
West Brom, I have got to finish bottom. there are evens to go down, and I think that's value. They had no wins against last season's top 4 in the Championship, which is alarming when you're coming into a better league, obviously. Yep. Austin and Robson Kanu were their top goal scorers in the league with 10 goals each. Both of them on the wrong side of 30. Both of them have been in the Premier League and not done it for a number of years. I just can't see where the goals are going to come from with them. And you have to question if this is a better side than the one that went down in 2018. And I'm not sure it is.
Yeah, I fully agree. I also have them bottom. I said it might be harsh because they have made Pereira a permanent signing now, and that's a very good acquisition. He was key for them in the Championship. But nonetheless, everything you've said is true. And just to pile on with the kind of stat attack, they had the joint most draws in the Championship. They drew 17 times. You don't normally go up automatically with 17 draws. And whether that can hack it in the Premier League, you'd have to guess not.
I agree with everything there, and I can't really see a way they stay up.
Oh, I don't know if I go quite that far, because I mean, it can be so unpredictable, but nonetheless,
it can be. I mean, a lot of people are saying exactly the same about Sheffield United, so maybe I shouldn't be so harsh.
Yeah, I predicted Sheffield United to finish stone cold last.
So, West Brom bottom, but maybe I shouldn't be so harsh on them.
Even so, I think we're in agreement. Evens seems like value.
Definitely think so.
Cool. West Ham, there's no doubt they underperformed last year. It's not a terrible squad. There's some marquee players in there. But the worrying name is David Moyes.
It's true.
And as long as that's the case, they're not going to do anything spectacular. I was umming and ahhing where to put them. In the end, I put them 13th.
Well, I've gotten even worse. I've got them 15th.
Okay.
Again, I agree with David Moyes. Well, I don't agree with David Moyes. I wrote in my notes, will Moyes last a full season? I can't see it.
No.
They have the squads to finish higher than 15th. Obviously, Antonio had a very good restart. Suchek was a good signing. They could be involved in a relegation scrap. It really depends how long they stick with Moyes. I don't think he's an inspiring manager at all. But I think there is some value here, David Moyes to be first manager to leave his post 8-1.
Okay.
I like the sound of that.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. You've been creative there, because I was really struggling with West Ham value. And in terms of team bets, I mean, it's slim pickings, because they're 1-4 for a bottom half finish. So I mean, that's not worth doing, because they do have the squad to theoretically sneak into the top 10. But equally, that's not likely enough to be worth betting on. So yeah, I think if you're betting on West Ham and you're for some reason dead set on it, then yeah, Moyes to go is probably the way forward.
Lastly, Wolves. I think this is probably my most outlandish prediction.
Oh, no. I knew we would do this.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. I've got them to finish fourth. I'm not proud of it. But my biggest decision was Manchester United or Wolves fourth, and it sounds ridiculous. Manchester United should have fourth wrapped up, but I think Wolves are the better side.
I've had a horrible, creeping feeling all week that we would do the same controversial pick for Wolves fourth. I was saying, Fabio, mate, we've definitely done the same pick. He's like, no, we definitely haven't. No one else is going to tip this. But here we are. I also have Wolves fourth place for very similar reasons. And I mean, from our United discussion earlier, you can see why we're going that way. If we're wrong about Solskjaer, we're probably wrong about Wolves. But
yeah,
I think a big thing, you might have been about to mention this, but I'm just going to get in ahead of you so we don't say totally the same things. It's the fixture congestion, all of their direct rivals in Europe. And in this season as well, when it's even more congested than normal, trying to cram in all these games in a slightly shorter season. I think that's big time advantage Wolves, and they did so well even whilst they were competing on both fronts to finish seventh. So yeah, I can definitely see them kicking on.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it for me. I've got no Europa, could be a massive boost, and I think it will be. Only Watford took longer to win last season, and I put that down to starting the season in July with Europa League qualifying and all of that. So with that out the window, I think Wolves will push on. And I think they can get Champions League football.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much started themselves on a handicap last season for that reason you mentioned. And with that gone, yeah, fourth is very plausible. I mean, it's a punt, and that's reflected in 6-1, slightly over that in some places. But I think it's a very good punt. And the fact that we've independently put them fourth, I think corroborates.
Maybe I'm not crazy. The top six is 5-2, which I think is also good value.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they didn't finish in the top six.
There's a lot of value in the Wolves market. And I have another one for you, which is a market of without the traditional top six. So to finish top without them, and they're 11-5 there. That seems very generous.
Yeah, so we're agreed on Wolves.
So yeah, basically everyone go big on Wolves. So that was surprisingly uncontroversial end to the team tips, we're on to the big individual markets now. At the end of part one, we ran through Young Player of the Year, Golden Glove, most assists. If you haven't listened to that yet, go listen to it. Some interesting picks. Hopefully we have some more interesting picks for you here, and we'll start off with Golden Boot. What are you saying, Fabio?
So I think Golden Boot's obviously very difficult to pick. There are so many players who could feasibly do it. I've written down three names who I think represent some decent value. First up is Timo Werner. He's at 12-1. It's difficult with a player coming from a different league. Obviously, he finished second in the Bundesliga behind Lewandowski. I think Chelsea will score a lot of goals this season, and he'll likely be the person to top score for them. So at 12-1, I think there's worse value.
Yep, there's probably worse. I'll let you carry on your list in a second. I'll just comment on Werner first. It's tough because, like you say, he's new to the league. And, I mean, it is the Bundesliga where traditionally players settle a bit more easily in the Premier League than from other leagues. And as you say, Chelsea do have a very attacking setup, mostly because Lampard doesn't know how to coach a defence properly unless it's counter-attack. I can see him getting a lot of goals, but purely because he's still so much of an unknown in the league, I'd probably avoid it personally.
Fair enough. Next on my list, I think this one could be potentially a good pick. Raheem Sterling at 14-1.
Nice, yeah.
I think he's going to have plenty of game time as usual, more so than Aguero. Last year, I tipped him to be Man City's top goal scorer, and he finally did that. And I think he'll do it again. He gets a lot of tap-ins by being in the right position. Manchester City obviously score a lot of goals. And I can see him hitting 20-plus again this season.
Yep, I'll jump in at this point. I didn't bottle it. I only did one pick, and it was Raheem Sterling. So, yeah, for much of the reasons you've described, the slight worry is Ferran Torres. How many minutes is he going to get? Is it going to be in Sterling's position? But provided his game time is still relatively high, which you'd imagine it would be, yeah, he's in the conversation, and 14-1 seems generous.
You'll like this one. My last pick is Salah.
No.
No, it's not. Salah's at 6-1. It's not the most amazing odds, but like with Manchester City, Liverpool are going to score a lot of goals. Salah is the main guy, with penalties as well. I can easily see him scoring 20-plus. So, yeah, I think he's just as likely as Sterling. The odds are worse, but if you fancy a Liverpool scorer, I'd go for Salah.
Yeah, and I think that shows the difficulty of finding value, because the sad truth is the betting markets do know what they're doing most of the time. And you'd expect, you know, just the layperson wouldn't necessarily back Salah because he had a slightly quieter goal-scoring season. And the sort of the things that stand out are the squandered chances. But, yeah, I mean, he's constantly in the positions. We know that he can go off and score absolutely tons of them if he gets on a run. So, yeah, I mean, it's very possible. Whether it's value, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning him in the conversation. And I'm glad you did, which means avoid my accusations of Liverpool bias. But to bring back those accusations rapidly, let's move on to Player of the Year, where I have Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Wow, okay.
Let me explain.
Yeah, go for it.
And just to preempt criticisms, I know he's also eligible for Young Player of the Year, which I didn't tip him for, but similar to the 23 and under rule, there's evidence that people have started to think, you know what, it's stupid that you can be eligible for both. Let's just pick the best player and then pick someone else young as the best young player. So I think it's still possible that he could win Player of the Year.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So regardless of how stupid and contrived that is, I've got Trent because let's say he has a third straight season of double figures assists, which I tipped him for when we were talking about top assister. And also, let's say Liverpool do win the league. That's a bigger if, potentially. But again, it's what I'm tipping them for. It's hard to ignore him at that stage. I mean, still so young, and he's gone and been pivotal to not just a league title, but three straight remarkable campaigns. And he's racking up the assists, breaking defensive records year after year. I think as that keeps happening, it's going to get harder and harder to ignore him for Player of the Year. And at 16-1, that's a value pick for me.
Yeah, well, I can see that. As you say, if he gets top assists, and you predicted Alisson to have the most clean sheets, so say he's got both of those and Liverpool win the league as well, I can easily see him winning it. I've gone for De Bruyne again.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, I think for reasons that are self-explanatory, for me, he's the best player in the league. I've tipped Man City to win, and I think he'll get a similar amount of assists to last year as well. And he was just the best player in the league.
For what it's worth, I think it's pretty much a straight shootout between Van Dijk and De Bruyne. If we're just talking about straight up who's the best player in the league, I don't think De Bruyne is clear of Van Dijk, but it's so hard to compare across positions anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm just putting that out there just so I'm not slandered for letting you get away with saying De Bruyne is clear as the best in the league. I think Van Dijk has to be in the conversation.
Sure. He's quite good, but no, for me, it's De Bruyne.
I mean, it's a fair shout. He could win Player of the Year. I think it's Trent, and I'm going to get the last word in there and leave it there. We have been James Martin and Fabio Duarte. This has been Clutch Football. Thanks for listening.